Well, then, pretty soon all hands got to talking about the diseased again, and how good he was, and what a loss he was, and all that. And before long, a big iron-jawed man worked himself in there from outside, and stood a-listening and looking and not saying anything. And nobody saying anything to him either, because the king was talking and they was all busy listening. The king was saying, in the middle of something he'd started in on, "They being particular friends of the diseased, that's why they're invited here this evening. But tomorrow we want all to come, everybody, for he respected everybody, he liked everybody, and so it's fitting that his funeral orgies should be public." And so he went a-mooning on and on, liking to hear himself talk, and every little while he fetched in his funeral orgies again, till the Duke, he couldn't stand it no more. So he writes on a little scrap of paper, "Obsequies, you old fool," and folds it up and goes to goo-gooing and reaching it over other people's heads to him. The king, he reads it and puts it in his pocket and says, "Poor William, afflicted as he is, his heart's all is right. Asks me to invite everybody to come to the funeral. Wants me to make them all welcome. But he needn't to worry. It was just what I was at." Then he weaves along again, perfectly calm, and goes to dropping in his funeral orgies again every now and then, just like he done before. And when he done it the third time, he says, "I say orgies, not because it's the common term, because it ain't, obsequies being the common term, but because orgies is the right term. Obsequies ain't used in England no more. It's gone out. We say orgies now in England. Orgies is better because it means the thing you're after, more exact. It's a word that's made up out in the Greek orgo, outside, open, abroad, and the Hebrew jizum, to plant, cover up, hence inter. So you see, funeral orgies is an open, public funeral." He was the worst I ever struck. Well, the iron-jawed man, he laughed right in his face. Everybody was shocked. Everybody says, "Why, doctor?" And Abner Shackelford says, "Why, Robinson, ain't you heard the news? This is Harvey Wilkes." The king, he smiled eager and shoved out his flapper and says, "Is it my poor brother's dear good friend and physician? Keep your hands off me," says the doctor. "You talk like an Englishman, don't you? It's the worst imitation I ever heard. You, Peter Wilkes's brother? You're a fraud, that's what you are." Well, how they all took on. They crowded around the doctor and tried to quiet him down and tried to explain to him and tell him how Harvey'd showed in 40 ways that he was Harvey, and knowed everybody by name and the names of the very dogs, and begged him not to hurt Harvey's feelings and the poor girl's feelings and all that. But it warn't no use. He stormed right along and said any man that pretended to be an Englishman and couldn't imitate the lingo no better than what he did was a fraud and a liar. The poor girls was hanging to the king and crying. And all of a sudden, the doctor ups and turns on them. He says, "I was your father's friend, and I'm your friend. And I warn you as a friend, and an honest one, that wants to protect you and keep you out of harm and trouble, to turn your backs on that scoundrel and have nothing to do with him, the ignorant tramp, with his idiotic Greek and Hebrew, as he calls it. He is the thinnest kind of an impostor, has come here with a lot of empty names and facts which he has picked up somewheres, and you take them for proofs, and are helped to fool yourselves by these foolish friends here, who ought to know better. Mary Jane Wilkes, you know me for your friend, and for your unselfish friend, too. Now listen to me. Turn this pitiful rascal out. I beg you to do it. Will you?" Mary Jane straightened herself up, and my, but she was handsome. She says, "Here's my answer." She hove up the bag of money and put it in the king's hands and says, "Take this $6,000 and invest it for me and my sisters any way you want to, and don't give us no receipt for it." Then she put her arm around the king on one side and Susan and the hare-lip done the same on the other. Everybody clapped their hands and stomped on the floor like a perfect storm, whilst the king held up his head and smiled proud. The doctor says, "All right, I'll wash my hands of the matter. But I warn you all that a time's coming when you're going to feel sick whenever you think of this day." And away he went. "All right, doctor," says the king, kind of mocking him. "We'll try and get 'em to send for you." Which made them all laugh, and they said it was a prime good hit.